Welcome to Parenting Teens with Dr. Cam, where we tackle the challenges of raising teenagers without the drama. I'm your host, Dr. Cam. Let's get on with the show. Have you ever felt at a loss when faced with your teen's rude behavior? Moments where your requests are ignored or they respond with sarcasm or eye-rolling. If this sounds all too familiar, this episode is for you. Today, I'm joined by Brooke Romney, the best-selling author of 52 Modern Manners for Today's Teens, Volume 1 and 2. Brooke is going to shed light on how we can foster mutual respect, maintain authority, while still strengthening our connection. Brooke, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dr. Cam. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So let's start. Why are you focused on manners? Where did that come from?
Well, I really am focused on modern manners because these aren't the manners that our grandmas taught us about which fork to use. These are ways for us to help our kids be aware, connected, confident, and kind. And those, I think, are the new manners of today.
That is so key. So what about the, you know, no elbows on the table and chewing with your mouth open?
So I think that those are really great manners, but I don't know that they're life-changing manners. In the book, there are quite a few physical manners because you want to be someone that feels comfortable in situations and helps others feel comfortable too. But the manners that I focus on, for me, in my opinion, are the ones that change relationships and that catapult our teens to success.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I know one thing that I hear about a lot, I've worked with teachers, I work with parents, I think one of the common themes is how rude our teens are, how disrespectful they seem to be. Why is this happening? Do you have any thoughts on why kids seem so rude nowadays?
Oh, I think there's so many reasons, and I'm sure you know that from your perspective too, but there are a few things that I think have really changed the landscape. The first one is technology devices. So our kids, kids like my age, we used to observe our parents in social situations on a very regular basis. It wasn't an option for us to put headphones in or put our eyes down. We were watching what those situations looked like all the time. And we were learning through observation. Our kids don't have the opportunity to do that anymore as often. Not only that, but after COVID, we were all away from each other for a long time. Even adults weren't interacting. And then our whole world became much more online. So we weren't hardly going to stores or going shopping at the mall. And so I just think that they haven't had the opportunity to see what good interactions and polite interactions should look like. And then parents are frustrated wondering, how come you're not getting this? But really, I think we need to deliberately teach this now because it's not going to be something they observe all the time.
One thing I'm hearing, Brooke, in this is that we have this perception that kids are just naturally rude and this generation, they're a rude generation, as if somewhere along the lines, they all got together and say, we're going to all just be disrespectful, right?
Right.
Rather than going, okay, kids aren't learning this behavior, which is frustrating because I think parents are constantly correcting and changing and saying and pointing out, this is the behavior you need to do and pointing out when they're being rude. And it's being met with more rudeness a lot of the times, right? So what are we doing wrong right now when it comes to trying to teach our kids to be polite at least or kind?
There's a couple things that really stand out to me. The first one is I think a lot of parents wanted to do things differently than the way they were raised. They wanted more connection. They wanted more love. They wanted less judgment, less shame, which I think all those things are really great things. What I think parents haven't realized is it's not an or, it's an and. It's, I want to be connected and loving and encouraging, and I want my kids to have boundaries and understand what's appropriate because I know that I want them to have a successful life, and someone who's entitled and doesn't understand how to interact with the people around them, that's not going to be a good end game. And so I think as parents, in that effort to just connect and love, we're forgetting that a lot of connection comes from healthy boundaries and expectations. And so really kind of flipping the idea. The other thing that I've noticed is our kids want to be successful, they don't just always know how to do it. Mm. And so that's one of the reasons why I wrote these books, is because we have to teach differently. These are different kids. They're growing up in a different time. They have different motivators. In the book that I wrote about manners, in every manner, it says, what's in it for them? Mm-hmm. It's not enough anymore to say, I need you to do this because it's right. I need you to do this because it's respectful to me. They need to know, if you're the type of kid who is respectful in a car, if you acknowledge the driver, if you have a polite conversation, if you leave and say thank you, that person who's giving you rides is going to be happy to give you rides for the next little bit until you don't have a license. So do that. They're going to want you in. Your parents are going to say, sure, I can give you and your friends rides. You guys are so fun to have in the car. Instead of, you just have to do this and it's really important and I don't want you to make me look bad.
Right. And why is it more important now for kids to have a reason why, rather than just saying, just do this because it's right?
I think our kids they have so much information. Mm. They see that there are 100 different ways to do things. Yeah. And we didn't have that. We only saw the way our parents did it and maybe a neighbor, but they see hundreds of thousands of ways to do things. They see parents online doing it this way and experts giving you this advice and TikTok influencers saying, don't take this from your parents. You know, own your space, own your life. And so we really have to be more convincing. We have to relate better. And it's a bigger job, but I also think it's one worth doing because it creates incredible connected relationships when it's done well. Not all the time. It's not sunshine and rainbows. But in the end, it creates those relationships that we really want to, that are really fulfilling to us as parents.
Yeah. So Brooke, what are some of the manners or the behaviors that are most crucial that we instill and model for our kids for them to be successful in their relationships and interactions with people moving forward?
I want to start with a couple relationship manners.
Okay.
One is learning how to start a conversation. I think even adults are scared of this. Mm. But kids are especially, and even teens. So instead, they're choosing to feel lonely and they're choosing to feel on the outside. And we know there's huge ramifications for those feelings. And having the skill to start a conversation makes everything easier. In the book, it says there's a formula for this. Make an observation and then ask a question. Hmm. When you break it down to that, it's all of a sudden so much less overwhelming. And as a parent, you can model that. Even if it's with one of their friends, hey, I love your North Carolina sweatshirt. Is that where you want to go to school? Observation, question. You can encourage them to do that themselves. If you're going to, you know, support a friend in a musical performance, saying, wow, you were so good on the piano. Do you take private lessons? Mm. There's so many ways that just breaking it down to something simple can really, really help our teens feel capable and confident. And the more that we do that in front of them, it's something that they see in action and it doesn't feel so overwhelming or so hard.
Yeah, I think the seeing us do it, because it is a terrifying thing to do, and especially during the adolescent years, you're even more worried about saying something that people are going to think is stupid. Right?
Absolutely.
This is their biggest fear. They're going to say something. They're going to get judged. They're going to be seen as uncool. And so they'd rather not say anything at all. And that kind of becomes prohibitive. And then COVID, I want a day where we don't have COVID to have to put blame on stuff. And it's not necessarily blame, but they, during some core years of them being able to develop the skill, they didn't have the opportunity to develop the skill. And so now the skill is kind of, they're behind the ball on this one, right? But expected to know how to do it. Because I think we just assume we naturally do it, but then we look at adults who are terrible at this too, right? So
yes.
How can we, without provoking more eye rolls and annoyance at us, how can we kind of help our kids build this skill?
So the first thing that's really important to me is that we see social interactions, relationships, and manners as something that we have a growth mindset about. Mm. I think parents have gotten really good at growth mindset about math, growth mindset about reading. But when it comes to social skills, sometimes we say, oh, my kid's just bad at that, or, you know, they have a low social IQ, things like that. And this is just who they are and who they're going to be. And I think it's crucial that we change our framework of thinking, that this is something they can grow into. This is something they can get better at. Does it take practice, instruction, encouragement? Absolutely. Just like all those other things with growth mindset do. But it is absolutely possible for us to be able to teach our kids and ourselves. If we're lacking, we can get better at those things too. So that's the first thing I would say. The second thing is because I wrote these books for a purpose. Because teenagers don't like to feel pointed out by their parents. Mm-hmm. They don't like it to feel disconnected. They don't want parents who are constantly correcting them all of the time. And I get it. I don't want someone like that in my life either.
No.
So I wrote these books so that we could get ahead of the curve. Mm. Instead of when our kids, let's say you are with your child and they go somewhere new and they sit in the corner and they don't introduce themselves to anyone. And then you get done with that event and you're like, why didn't you say hi? Why didn't you introduce yourself? You got to do that if you want to make connections, you know, things like that. Instead, we flip to the first manner in volume one and we talk about introducing yourself and it tells you how to do it and it tells you why it's important. And then they go to those events having some skills, having a little bit of a toolkit. So they say, okay, I'm somewhere new. And even on the way to somewhere new as a parent, you say, hey, remember that manner about introducing yourself? This would be a great place to practice it. And all of a sudden, teaching our kids really important skills is actually connective and empowering instead of disconnective and, you know, adding angst to the relationship. Kids feel good when they feel capable. And that's something I love about the book is it's allowing our kids to feel capable. I love that it helps kids understand they're not the only one. Mm-hmm. They're not the only one that didn't realize that deodorant was important or that showers were necessary, right? It's like, hey, there's this book 100,000 people are reading, and it's because all these teens are having a little bit of a problem with these simple things. You're not alone. This is something we learn. This is something that doesn't come naturally to everybody. No big deal. Let's do it together.
I love this approach because it's not going with the assumption, okay, my kid's just naturally rude or my kid is just naturally smelly, right? It's about how, if my child's not able to do that, let's look at what is the obstacle. What skill are they missing that they need to learn? And this is something we can help. So we don't come at it as a, you're wrong, you're bad, this is something wrong with you, which just puts more pressure on them when we assume they should know. And they don't. And that's just really hard. So this is going, okay, I noticed that this was really difficult. This is a skill we need to build.
Exactly. Exactly.
So starting conversations is a big one. And again, I know a lot of adults, and I'm going to use that equation myself, use that formula. Yeah. I love it. What other skill or manners do we want to focus on with our kids?
There are a couple that are, I think, are really important. The book talks a lot about technology manners too. And one of them that I think is absolutely crucial is nothing online is private. Mm-hmm. That manner breaks down why, how someone can screenshot anything, even if it disappears or you erase it. It talks about the ramifications. And I think if our teens could learn one manner online that could be life altering in the best possible way, it would be that nothing online is private.
Yeah.
A few other ones that I love, acknowledge adults. When you are in a space, and especially in someone's home, you don't walk by the adult and go down to the basement and enjoy your night and then walk out like they don't exist, right? Those are things that are really important. Another one is advocate for yourself at school. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wait for your mom or your dad to fight that battle or to, you know, tell on a teacher if there's something that's going on or if you get something marked wrong or if there's something that you don't understand, acknowledge adult or, you know, advocate for yourself at school. I love one about not everyone likes the same thing, right? Mm. You don't have to put down what others love. If someone says they love baseball and you're a soccer person, you don't have to tell them how dumb baseball is. Right. You can just say, that's awesome. Why do you like it? If someone says they only like to go to Wendy's and you like McDonald's, you don't have to tell them all the reasons Wendy's is horrible. Those types of things create disconnection in relationships. And then our teens sit back and wonder, I don't know, why doesn't anyone like me? How come I can't keep friendships? So there are so many great manners in both of the volumes that help prepare our teens to live a successful, connected, and aware life.
Right. And this is not about telling our kids what they're doing wrong or pointing out that they're doing wrong. It's about helping kids develop ways to do it. Because I know like the adult one's a big one I've heard about and seen. Mm-hmm. And when I talk to the kids, they're so uncomfortable. They don't know what to say to the adult, right? Or they just feel, it feels weird. So it's not necessarily that they are purposely being rude. They're just uncomfortable. So they're trying to race out of there, or they're going to go put their headphones on because they don't know how to have that conversation. Or it feels like an interrogation, right? And feels awkward, and they just don't want to sit in this. So we've got these manners, and we want to make sure our kids are learning. And what I'm hearing is it's really about how to engage with other people. Like a lot of you, what you just said is about how do we engage where we have a voice, but our voice is said in a respectful way, or we allow other people to have a voice and respect that voice. If our kid is already showing signs of just not having any of these skills, let's just put it that way. They do not have these skills at all. Yeah. Where do we begin?
So what I would do is I would sit with them and I would just say something like, hey, I am really concerned about some of the behavior I see, not because I want you to make me look good, but I think it's inhibiting your opportunity for success now and in the future. And I just have learned a few things lately, and I want to do a better job as a family. So I'm hoping that you're going to be willing to engage with this book, with me, with your siblings. We're going to do it together. I don't need to see anything perfect, but I want to make sure that you're aware because I don't want you to live a life that's disconnected, and I don't want you to live a life where you don't feel successful. It's so important to me as a parent that you have the opportunity to live the life you want to live. And so I'm hoping you'll engage in this with me. That's what I would start with.
Yeah.
I also think that in certain situations, you know, putting up those boundaries, setting those expectations is really important. I think as parents, we think our kids want all the freedom, but too much freedom makes them feel really insecure.
Yeah.
When you have no boundaries, when you have no limits, and everyone's just trying to walk on eggshells around you so you don't get mad, that actually feels very disorienting and you don't know who to look to or where to go. And so there are certain behaviors that need to be stopped and should have, you know, like a consequence because of that. For instance, I don't want to teach my kids to have relationships that are unhealthy. Mm-hmm. So in my house, when my kids are speaking to me in an unhealthy way, that is an unhealthy relationship, that stops. I'm there to be their soft place to land, but I am not there to be their punching bag.
Right.
So if they are going to treat me like a punching bag, I'm going to stop that. Because I don't want them to treat their husband or their wife or their children like that. I don't want them to think that is a normal family relationship. So that's going to stop. And there's a lot of different ways to do that depending on your child. But you can say something like, you know what? This way of speaking to me is not healthy or right. So I'm going to let you try again. Or this way of speaking to me is not healthy or right. I'm going to let you go cool off and we're going to talk about this again. Mm-hmm. There's so many ways to do that that's respectful and kind on your part.
Yeah.
And really like not feeding into it and not, you know, going to bat. But keeping in mind, I don't want to be the type of parent that creates a child that can't function in the world, that can't have healthy relationships because he doesn't know what those look like.
Right.
I want to raise a kid that can do all that because he knows what that looks like. He knows what boundaries look like. He knows what respectful conversation and different ways of thinking look like. And I'm going to teach that to him in my home. And that is so much better than just being a nice parent.
Yeah. And I think the biggest piece too is we're modeling that when we're talking to them. So I see a lot of times parents getting very upset that their kids are being disrespectful towards them, but they're yelling at them and disregarding what they have to say. So they're modeling that disrespect back, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's very important that we set our boundaries 100%, mm-hmm. but without anger. And I right. think that's where we stumble a lot, is if somebody says something, especially our kids say something that feels disrespectful to us, we get angry rather than getting curious and saying, why are they feeling the need to say it in this way? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, is it emotion so dysregulation? Is it not knowing another way to say it? So pointing out this is not okay. I'm mm-hmm. not okay being talked to this way. This feels bad.
Yep.
But giving them an opportunity to try something different is key.
Yes. And it's funny. I think one of the best skills we can have as parents is being a great actor. Mm-hmm. Because you are going to feel one thing and you are going to have to portray something else yeah. in order to be the parent that you need to be and that they need in the moment. And so, you know, again, growth mindset with this. I didn't respond well. I haven't had those good relationship skills lately, but I can learn. And I think, you know, in the manners book, it talks a lot about go-to phrases, practicing what you might say. And I think it works well in parenting too. The next time my kid comes at me and is yelling about how stupid it is that they have to clean their room, what will I say and how will I say it? I'm going to practice it in front of the mirror. I'm going to keep a neutral face and I'm going to work on it too. Not everyone is natural at this. And I would say most people are not. We all want to jump in and be mad and join in that, you know, kind of angry moment. So it takes practice, but practice does yield pretty incredible results when we're willing to do it.
So we're going to practice so that when we get triggered and our emotions get up there, right? And we just mm-hmm. immediately want to respond in an emotional way, which is human and natural. Our kids are doing it. We're doing it. We have already set aside and practiced what we're going to say. So can you give us an example in that specific case? Because I know parents, there's like two things I hear a lot. It's when we tell them to put their phone down, right? And they lose it. Mm-hmm. Or when we say, go do your chore, go clean your room, and they lose it. What are some healthy responses that we can model to them that show respect?
So the first one with the phone thing, I do think there's some deeper things with that. Mm. The first one is, have we talked about expectations with a phone? I think when someone, all of a sudden you're just like, put your phone down. And they're like, well, everyone in the whole room is on their phone, right? Like, yeah. Why do I have to put it down? So understanding that as parents, we're modeling technology usage. And when we tell our kids, you've been on your phone for too long, and then we sit and scroll Instagram ourselves, they're going to see yeah, the so hypocrite real. There. And, yeah. and they're definitely going to push back at that. Yeah. But if we've established, hey, in our family, we've decided that meal times are no phone times and everyone puts them in a basket or everybody keeps them in their pocket, even if they get a ding or whatever that is, then that's something that's really enforceable. If we've talked about, you know what, a healthy amount of screen time on a phone is about 2 hours a day and I've been home for 2 hours and you've been on your phone for 2 hours, so it's time to put it up. And then we give them a different option, like, would you like to play a game, or it's probably time to get your homework out. You know, those types of things. Really being engaged in that instead of just put your phone away, put your phone away, put your phone away. If there's a reason, it makes it a lot easier. If there's something that we've agreed upon, it makes it a lot easier for them to buy into the idea that yeah. it's time to put your phone away. If they get belligerent about it, even when it's an agreed upon time, let's say it's time for dinner and you say, hey, like everyone, it's time to put our phones away. We're going to have dinner together. And they're like, I'm not doing that. That's so ridiculous. None of my friends have to do that. You guys are the worst parents ever. You know, you can say something like, I'm so sorry you feel that way. This is something that we've already established as a family. I need you to put your phone away. Mm-hmm. If they keep pushing back, there's consequences for actions, right? In our family and in the world, you can say, hey, you're having a really hard time putting your phone away. It looks like you're really attached to it right now. That means it's probably time for a bigger break.
Yeah.
I'm going to take your phone, or I'm going to shut off the screen time, or whatever you do as a parent. And we're going to put it away until tomorrow morning. And I think by then, hopefully you'll feel able to do it in a more responsible mm-hmm. way. So having the boundary, saying it calmly, and then following through, which yeah. can be really hard mm-hmm. for us,
yeah.
being able to follow through. So they say, oh, okay, next time it's probably not worth me fighting, putting my phone away for 1 hour for dinner, because I'm going to get it taken away for the whole night. So I'm just going to put it away for the hour and then I'm going to get it back after, you know, those types of things. Jumping on to the next idea that you gave when it's, you know, I need you to go clean your room. So families do this in a variety of ways. And I think that one of the things that we can do is we can be aware as parents. Sometimes teens have a lot on their plate. Mm-hmm. They have a lot going. So if they're really fighting about cleaning their room, one of the things that you might be able to say is, it sounds like you're a little bit overwhelmed right now and you have a lot going. Right now might not be the time for you to get your room clean. When will you be able to do it?
Yeah.
Before Saturday. When will you be able to do it before Saturday? That's if your kid is just especially busy and they're very frustrated because you're not seeing that. You know, let's say they're like, I have to get to football and then I've got to go to mm-hmm. work and I have so much homework tonight. You know, being a human as a parent is really important too. Sometimes we can't do our housework right then when there's a lot of pressing things. If your child is just being belligerent and they don't want to pitch in, one of the things I like to say is, hey, as a family, we have to work together. Mm-hmm. I have a job. Dad has a job. You have school, but we still have to make this house function. One of the things that you've agreed to do is make sure that your room stays clean. So I expect it to be done by 6 o'clock tonight. You know, maybe it's 3 o'clock. I expect it to be done by 6 o'clock tonight. I looked at it. It's probably only going to take 15 minutes. So if you can do it by six, that would be great. Another option is, hey, looks like you feel really overwhelmed about how messy your room is. I've got 15 minutes right now. I will help you for the next 15 minutes. And I bet we can get it done together. Like, can you come do that with me? Everyone's in a different space with their kids. Sometimes they need one thing. Sometimes they need another. But the important thing is that we don't just say, oh, they're bugged. They no longer have to contribute to the household.
Right.
That's not going to work. But I'm a huge fan of finding ways that it works for everyone, because I would rather go help my teenager for 15 minutes and we can chat and enjoy each other for 15 minutes and get their room clean, then have it just be this all-out World War II. There's other times I don't have time to do that. So I'll say, I get it. My life's really busy too. I need it done by Saturday before you go out with your friends.
Yeah.
And those are really great ways to get what you need and what's important for them. They should be contributing to your house.
Right. I think a lot of times when it comes to chores and requests as well, what comes back to us feels as disrespect, but a lot of times it's frustration, because what we mean by a clean room and what they mean by a clean room can be extremely different. Mm-hmm. You know, what I mean by a clean room is everything off the floor, everything in its place. What my daughter means by a clean room is there's a pathway that she can walk from the door to her bed, right? That's
right,
clean to her.
Right.
So I think we also have to understand that we need to be very clear on what those expectations are and make sure that they're reasonable too, so that reading that disrespect in kind of reading into it. Like, rather than just taking it at face value, saying, what is the purpose of this tone? What are they trying to communicate with this tone?
And exactly. That tone.
Yeah.
And I love what you said too about setting up the expectation. That's very important. Like, if they think they just have to get stuff off the floor and they can throw it in their closet because, let's say, grandma and grandpa are coming for dinner and you want to be able to open the door, sometimes that might be a thing.
That's good.
So you may have to be clear and say, hey, this is like an all the way clean this Saturday. This is, you know, closet picked up. And I think having those expectations, because they may come back to you, like you said, and be very frustrated with you. They did clean their room. What are you talking about?
Right. Exactly. I did clean it. I did exactly what you said. Okay.
Right.
Well, not clear. Okay. So what is the one biggest takeaway or action item we can do right now to start moving towards teaching our kids to be, I mean, I think the bottom line is we just want them to come across as being more respectful, right? What can we start doing today?
Well, I may be biased, but I created a book in order to do this. This was the main motivator, was to be able to have connective conversations as a family about important things that didn't feel pointed or rude. And so if I were a family that said, we need to start working on something, I would grab the book. I would do one manner a week. And what I would do as a parent is I would overly praise when you see them doing those things. Mm-hmm. I would be the biggest cheerleader they've ever seen. The first manner in the first book is introduce yourself. You know, I would challenge them to do it. I would hear about their experience. I think as parents, we forget that our teens want to be connected to us.
Yes, they do.
And you probably have seen this in your
practice. Over and over and over again.
You've never met a teen that said, I actually don't want a relationship with my parents.
No, I've yet.
And, you know, and this book is such an easy tool to be able to start those relationships. And if you have a prickly kid or someone who you know is not going to buy into this right now, grab the book, flip it open, put it on a breakfast bar, put it on a dinner table, let them take it in for themselves. I had a kid like that that did not want to learn from me, which is why I made it a stand-up book so that he could take it in on his own terms, yeah. Learn on his own terms, and then practice it on his own terms. And I think that's really important that we are open to all ways of them improving in small increments. We're praising it. We're noticing it. We're noticing it in others. When they have a friend that comes over that is so great at acknowledging you, you say, wow, Ryan is amazing at making me feel seen and I'm so appreciative. You realize you can have him over anytime. He is always welcome at our house. And then maybe sliding that in. You know, if you want to be that kind of kid that's always welcome or that gets invited to the cabin on the weekend or whatever it is, like, that's a really good model to follow after.
I think that's key too, is finding something that is kind of their need, right? And you had mentioned this earlier, and I really wanted to circle back to that too, because now they're interested. And if they're saying, I don't feel like I have any friends, which I hear a lot, like, I don't know how to make friends. I don't feel like. Now we specifically go to ones that can help them and say, hey, let's try this. Let's see if this helps and this works. And now there's a reason for it. And they have an outcome to look for and saying, oh, wow, okay, this works, which I think is really key. The other thing I really wanted to point out is you said one a week. One.
Yes.
A week. One. This is not like, okay, we're going to do all 52 of these today. Let's go. Boom. It is like, and it's us doing it, you know, like, let's all try doing this. So this is a big thing. And if your kid too, and you know, you were saying the prickly kid, if it's something that you want your kid to start doing more of and you can't get through to your kid, that's something that you can start modeling more of, right?
Absolutely.
So now it's like, this is the thing I want to make sure they're seeing. So I'm going to do it over and over and over again so that they're seeing me do it.
I love that. And I also had a really great suggestion from a reader, and she said that they didn't want it to feel like a wah-wah thing, like, oh, we're doing manners.
Yeah.
So they tried to associate it with something that their kids really enjoyed. So they do manners in movies every Friday night. She's using the kids' book. Her kids are younger.
Yeah.
So it's manners in movies with the kids' book. But other families have done similar things. So it's like a really great positive association. So they get fast food, bring manners in the car, and they do manners in the car.
Yeah.
So things that like their kids are excited about, or they go get ice cream once a week, or they make it like where a kid gets to choose the meal. So it's like meals and manners. So the kid chooses the meal and the kid chooses the manner. So it's a little bit more like self-directed by the kids. There's so many ways to make it work. If your family is not like, let's just gather around and talk about a manner. Some families, it's amazing. Some families need something else to make it something that feels meaningful, fun, and worth looking forward to.
I also think it's about putting it into practice, right? Mm-hmm. So one thing I see a lot of is kids being uncomfortable talking to adults, but they don't have a lot of opportunities to do so. So like one example with my daughter, and I started when she was really young and I would sit behind her, but I would have her go to the checkout or order her own food. And now her friends, she's a teenager, but her friends will now make her order the food because she's comfortable doing it and knows how to do it well, knows about tipping, knows about like all this stuff. And she's great at it and feels so confident at it, but she's been doing it. I've let her do it, right? And I remember teaching her how to shake hands. I'm like, all right, let's teach how to shake hands because this is an important thing to be able to do. And it was silly and fun, but now she knows how to do it. So it's skills that you don't even think about, but consistently giving them the opportunity to do it, they're going to suck at first. They just will. They won't know how. So it's like giving them that opportunity to continue to do it. And then all of a sudden, they're good at it.
And I love this testimonial because what you're showing us is not that Your child is just competent at doing something, but she has confidence in herself. She's that girl. She's the girl that always orders food. She's the girl that knows how to tip. And as your family goes through these manners, that's what your kids are getting. I'm the kid that knows how to introduce myself. Yep. I'm the kid who knows how to be respectful at homes. I'm the kid who knows how to celebrate others. You know, it's, I'm the kid who knows what to say when somebody says, what are you into? What do you like to do? It's the confidence that comes. And what I love seeing is it's not outer confidence. It's not, I got 100% on the test. It's not, I'm the star of the basketball team. It's in here. It doesn't leave. Yeah. It's not something that someone can take away. And I think giving our kids that gift is about the most powerful thing we can do as a parent.
It really is. And then it give the more they're able to do it, the more they feel confident that if something new comes up, they're going to be able to figure it out and handle it okay. And that's the other social anxiety I see a lot with kids is, I don't know if I'm going to know what to do. Mm-hmm. And that's terrifying. So yes. All of this, so yes. It's, you know, we start with manners, but ultimately, it's about having the confidence to interact and know how to present yourself. That's what Absolutely. This all, the bottom line of this is. And that is, I can't think of a more important skill in terms of going out there and being successful in life, right?
Yes.
That's
yes.
great. Brooke, tell us a little bit about where they can find the book and find you.
Oh, awesome. I am on Instagram at Brooke Romney Writes. We have an incredible community of really deliberate, engaged parents, and I love being there. The books are on Amazon. You can also get them off my website. They're available in multiple countries if we get lucky on Amazon. There's one for kids ages 4 to 12, so you can start the manners journey early, and two for teens that have been really impactful for families. Coming out with a school curriculum, there's videos, you know, prompts for writing. It ties into Common Core. So that should be out by the beginning of next year for teachers. There's a ton of teachers who are using the books and absolutely seeing changes in their classroom.
That is fantastic. So rather than getting upset and annoyed with our kids for not being respectful, let's talk about how do we help have that growth mentality and give them the skills so that they're able to be respectful.
Yes.
Brooke, yes. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cam, for all you do and the way you educate so many parents.
This is fun. It's fun stuff, right?
It is.
And thank you, parents, for taking time out of your busy day to spend with us. I appreciate you. If you found this episode enlightening, take a quick second to click the follow button, then forward it to a friend. Until next time, stay curious. Remember, there's always more to the story than what you see. And that's a wrap. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Parenting Teens with Dr. Cam. Don't forget to hit follow so you don't miss a single episode and share the love by passing this on to a friend. Until next time, keep making a positive impact in your teen's life.